of our service, just so you guys get familiar with it. We're going to, mainly we have a song. We will then dismiss the kids, do our tithing. We'll have another song. Then we'll have the Word of God will be taught. And then we will have a response with our worship service at the end of our service instead of the beginning. We thought we wanted to change it because it gives us an opportunity to respond to God's Word and allow time of ministry and so on. So just give you a little heads up on that. I hope you guys had a great week. Unfortunately, my wife is starting to nest. She's looking forward to little Myrtle being born. No, don't worry, that's not the true name. That's what we call the baby because we don't know if it's a boy or girl yet. But so she put me to work yesterday, starting to get things out of the baby room, and now I imagine she's going to want to paint it, even though I'm not sure what we're going to do with it since we don't know if it's a boy or girl. So it's been a good week, but a crazy week for us. My wife would not mind if you decide to pray that the baby comes early. My wife wouldn't mind if the baby came yet tomorrow. She'd be happy. But so it's been a crazy week. Let me pray again for God's Word. I know we're distracted with what's going on. It's a holiday weekend. It's easy to be thinking on what we'll do afterwards. But let's calm our heart and hear what God wants to say to us today. Let me pray again. Father, as we get into your Word, Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would speak to us, that you would open our hearts to what you want to say and do. And I pray, Lord, may we lay down the distractions as we prepare our heart for communion today, as we celebrate, as we remember you giving your body and your blood for us. I pray, Lord, speak to us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we finish our study on the armor of God. And honestly, today we finish the book of Ephesians. And Lord willing, next week we will begin to study the book of Genesis as we begin the redemptive story of God's story of redemption. In the beginning, God created. So we'll begin the book of Genesis, Lord willing, next week, but we finish Ephesians today. If you have your Bible, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm just going to read the armor of God one more time, and beginning in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. And let me just read this passage to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am doing, Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to you, brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all. Love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So over the last month and a half, we have been focusing on the armor of God, that we are in a spiritual battle, right here and now. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle when we decide to come to church. And as I mentioned before, many don't come because they give in to the spirit. We give in to the enemy. Oh, I'm tired. I have things going on. There's more important things. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle when we work, when we're home. We are in a spiritual battle. And Paul, in Ephesians 6, has given us armor. And it's the armor of God so that we can stand against the enemy. And that's what we've been talking about for the last month and a half as I've been taking one piece of armor a day, a week, and we're talking about it. And today we finish on the armor of God. The first armor, remember, the belt of truth, right? As Jesus is the way, he is the truth. And Jesus also said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So we talk about how the belt of truth, God's word, the truth of Scripture, the living word of God. And then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. But we also talked about how his righteousness gives us the strength and power to begin to live a righteous life. And then we talk about the shoes of the gospel, the preparation of being ready to tell people about Christ and to stand firm proclaiming the gospel and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the shield of faith. Man, we really need that, don't we? In the midst of the battle, in the midst of doubts, in the midst of struggle, we have the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And then we talked about the helmet of salvation. Jesus is our Savior, past, present, and future. He is our Savior now. We talked about how he didn't only come and die for our past sins, but he died for all sin, and he wants to be our Savior today to save us from all the things that we face. He is our Savior. And then last week I talked about the sword of the Spirit. How do we battle the enemy? The Word of God. And we went through in Matthew chapter 4 as Jesus fought the devil in the wilderness. And we use that as a lesson for us. So what do we do now? We are at the end. We finished the armor of God. What do we do about God's armor? Yes, it's easy to know about something. If I asked you some Bible trivia, there's people that have been in church here their entire life, and you'd be able to give answers to the different questions I ask. But the question is, what do we do with the knowledge that we have? We can know it and do nothing, or we can live it and begin to live it in our lives. It's so easy for us to know and not live. I think in my generation, it seems like we got so complacent, like we wanted to know God's word. We wanted to know. But sometimes it's easy to know and feel spiritual knowing, but not being doers of God's word. What do we do with what we know about the armor of God? What do we do with it? We know we need to put it on. We know we're in a spiritual battle. What do we do with what we know? How do we apply the armor of God to our lives? How do we begin to put it on? Paul gives us, I believe, the answer in this passage. After talking about the armor of God, we see in verse 18, as he sums up right after the armor, he says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Paul here is telling us that we need to be alert and we need to persevere. But how do we do that? We need to pray. Prayer is the key to begin to enter into the spiritual battle. It is the key to begin to put on the armor of God. We need to learn to pray ourselves, but we really also need to learn to pray for one another. Prayer in the spiritual battle. There is power in prayer. Jesus would go up and spend all night in prayer before he chose his apostles, the 12 apostles. He had all these disciples, but to choose 12 apostles, he went and prayed all night. There is power. And if we want to begin to put on the armor that we've talked about, we need to make prayer a priority in our lives. Prayer is the key. Prayer will help us in our spiritual battle. It is a weapon against the enemy. There is power in prayer. God's word tells us to pray. Do you believe in prayer? Then why do we do so little of it? If it's a hard time, it's a little easier to pray sometimes. When I need, I'm in the test. Oh no, God, help me pass this test in school. We pray. Prayer needs to, we need, as Paul says, we need to pray without ceasing. Prayer needs to be the core of the Christian life. Praying for our needs, but also praying for each other. Just look around for a second. Look at people here. For those that you know, are you praying for them? Well, you just said you believe in prayer. Are you praying for each other? I sure hope you guys are praying for me. I need your prayer. Are we praying for one another? There are incredible promises of prayer. You know, in Jesus, his last night with his disciples in John, he brings up the subject of prayer 5 times. He brings up, I think, the Holy Spirit, I think, about 5 times. He brings up certain subjects over and over, and prayer was one of those subjects that he kept bringing up to his disciples because he did not want them to forget the power of prayer. But just listen to these 3 promises on prayer, because prayer is the weapon against the enemy. It helps us put on the armor of God. But listen to this. Matthew 7:7 says this, "Ask, and it might be given to you. Seek and maybe you'll find. Knock and maybe your eyes will be opened," right? No. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Do you believe that? John 14:14. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That challenge you in your prayer life? Do I believe in that way? It makes me, when I pray, sometimes I have to do what that father did. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We need to believe in prayer. And then 1 John 5:14 says this, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So God answers prayer. But we need to pray God's will. So how do we pray God's will? And Jesus gave us that key to successful prayer, and we see it in John 15:7. And listen to this. If he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." Do you see, God? Jesus kind of gives us these things that he gives us the key here to prayer. First, have a relationship with me. Are you having a daily intimacy with me? Abide in me. If you abide in me, the first key to successful prayer is abiding in him, having a relationship with him, spending time in his word, going for a walk, talking to him, pouring out your heart to him, surrendering those areas of your life that you struggle with. It's a relationship with him. It's number one. Abide in him. Remain in him. The second way that prayer is successful, makes prayer successful, is this: my words abide in you. Do you? What the heck is that? Oh, okay. Abide in his word, abides in you. Are you abiding in God's word? Are you in God's word? We must be in God's word. If you have a relationship with me and my word's in you. And so we need to spend time drenching ourselves in God's word, because as I shared last week, it's living, it's powerful, it's able to change our lives. Yet how many of us, we don't have time for his word. We have time for our coffee. We have time for our sports. We have time for our TV shows. We have time for Walking Dead. We have time for this, but we don't have time for God's word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Because when we know God's word, we know his will, then we know how to pray. Think about it. Prayer. If we want God to answer prayer, we need to abide in him. We need to be in his word. If I could have someone, a couple people come and hand these out to everybody for me, please. Noah, oh, I would ask you, Noah, but plenty. I'll put some over here if we need some more. Just hand those out to everybody, please. Well, I told you today that prayer is the key to entering the spiritual battle, to fighting the spiritual battle, but it's also the key to putting on the armor of God. How is prayer the key to putting on the armor of God? We need to pray God's word. We need to pray God's word. We know we need the helmet of salvation. Do we pray that God would reveal to us that he's our Savior? So we could put on, in a sense, that armor, the helmet of salvation. We could go around knowing I am secure in him. Jesus is my Savior. We pray that. Here's a question. Is putting the armor of God on God's will? Of course. And he says if we ask anything according to his will, he does it. How often do you ever pray, God, help me put the armor on? Reveal to me, God, what the helmet of salvation means. Reveal to me that you're my Savior. Or the breastplate of righteousness, Lord. And I'll be going through this with you in a second when I hand it out. You don't have to go through and look at all the pages yet. I'm not picking on you, Stephanie, don't worry. But, do you ever pray about putting on the armor of God? The breastplate of righteousness, Lord, what does it mean that you're my righteousness? Lord, what does it mean? How can I live righteously? I keep failing, but you say you're my righteousness, but how do I live righteously? Because you say, be holy, for I'm holy. Lord, the enemy's attacking me with these thoughts, and I don't know how to use your sword. Lord, teach me to know your word. Open my eyes. Your word's confusing. Lord, clear my understanding. Do we really approach God in the armor of God in prayer? Give me understanding. Do we do that? Do we need to pray God's word? We pray for God's word for ourselves. We could pray God's word for each other. Praying God's word. Let's put an application. I told you last week that today's message would be a lot of application. Okay, you guys have your, does everyone have one? Okay. Let's start out with you, okay? You are feeling inadequate. How many people ever go through a season where you're just feeling inadequate? You can't do anything. You just like feel, I'm a mess. Why does God have anything to do with me? Does anyone ever feel that way? Okay? What about you? Look at God's word. You could pray, I think. Power comes with praying God's promises and praying God's truth. God's promises are where God says, you do this, I'll do this. His truth is, hey, this is true about me, or this is true. We pray because we say, hey, God, this is true. This is what your word says. It's your will. So it's power because you're praying God's word. When you pray promises, God, you said this. I believe it. I ask for it because it's your will. Do you see how that brings in? Now, if you pray God's word, you don't have to worry about praying not his will. Now, we can't determine when God answers it or how God answers it. That's up to him. But we could pray knowing that he will answer that prayer. Okay, you're feeling inadequate. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Does that at all make you think that's how God views you? Doesn't matter your failures, doesn't matter your mistakes, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So you're feeling inadequate. You think that's God? It's not God. Maybe it's our flesh. Maybe we're just having a, maybe we didn't sleep well that night. What about praying this? God, I'm feeling inadequate. I'm not feeling very, I just feel like you've given up on me. I don't feel like I have any purpose. Lord, your word says you wove me in my mother's womb. You formed me in my mother's womb. You knitted me together. Lord, just help me get out of this. I know I'm special to you. Pray God's truth. I mean, I'm not going to go all the way, but you see how powerful these are when you start thinking about God's truth. I may feel inadequate, but it's not true. I throw up my shield of faith. I use God's word as a sword against the lies of the enemy. Inadequacy. Okay, here's another thing. Okay, you're not the one feeling inadequate. I'd say I talked to Denise. Denise and I haven't talked recently, so I'm not picking on her for any specific reason. But I'm talking to Denise, and she says she's feeling inadequate. Okay. Lord, and I'm praying for Denise. Lord, you form her in the womb. She's special. God, show her that she's that way. I pray for her through the season that you touch her life. And show her that she's special. Oh, is that God's will? That she feels special and that she knows? No, yes. We pray God's word. So you see how we could even pray for the pieces of armor. Like when you feel inadequate. Hey, a lot of it goes to the helmet of salvation. Is Jesus your Savior? Can you save you out of certain circumstances? We pray for people to help them put on their armor. So not only do you pray that God revealed to you the different pieces of armor, but when you see areas where people fail, maybe you could be praying to them with God's truth. Okay, the next one, worry, anxiety, finances. Oh, I never experienced any of that. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you. You know, this week, the last verse is a promise I've been holding on to. Having another baby, working here, working another job, it's wearing. You have another baby, more mouths, more expenses. And this is a prayer that this is a promise that God gave to me this week is in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And this week I've been just kind of, when I start getting stressed, when my wife says, oh, we need this for the baby's room, and we need this, and I'm going to be taking time off, and this, and all. I mean, overload. Does anyone ever experience that? I know. Oh, how am I going to do this? My God shall supply all my needs according, Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen, but Lord, your word says this, and I believe it. Supply my need. Some of you guys say you don't know how to pray. Okay, don't worry about doing it. Pray, just pray God's word. Take the truth of it and pray it. Wandering and hopeless. You ever go through a season of life that you're just wandering? You feel like you're floating. Your walk with God is not hot. It doesn't seem cold. It's kind of lukewarm. You're wandering. You're wondering what's going on. You're wondering if God loves you. I love Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from afar. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Does that at all help you with your hopelessness? that he loves you with a love that does not go away. And I love Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That whatever I face with spiritual battle, whatever's going on, I know God loves me. And you may not feel that, and you're in the warfare, and you pray, God, I am. You can even pray that. Lord, I am, know, because your word says that that nothing will separate me from your love. That even if I face this in my life and hardship at work, I know I cannot be separated from your love. Lord, show me that love. Bring me out of hopelessness. Bring me out of the pit. Praying God's word. Now let's do it for someone else. You know someone else is going through worry, anxiety, and finances. Maybe God will put on your heart to give them money. Maybe God will say, okay, pray for them. Oh, Lord, I pray, provide their needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Praying for each other. Are we praying for each other? Are we backing each other up in prayer? Or are we selfish Christians only praying for our needs? Could you imagine if everyone here was praying for each other? If everyone was getting to know each other and being able to pray for each other. That's one of the big things in our culture that's changing. It's sad. Is people are so busy, they don't take time for each other anymore. So how can you pray for people you don't know? Do you ever feel tired, weak, weary? Well, I just look at Stephanie. She nods very, oh, that's me right here. We feel that way. My wife and I feel that way. My wife, especially with little Myrtle, feels that way. I love Matthew 11, 28 and 30. When Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Lord Jesus, I feel weary. You told me to come. And I come to you and I ask that you would give me rest. You give me peace. I'm tired and I need your help. You guys ever feel that way? Do we pray God's word? Now, I know you guys never do this. You guys never fail in your walk with God. I know Phyllis never does. Fail in our walk with God. You ever fail and you feel like you're going to go do something, you're going to go for God, and what happens? You fail. And you feel like you failed so much that God has given up on you. I love Psalm 51. The prayer of David after he had an affair, he had adultery with Bathsheba, and this is Psalm 51, where David prays this, and this is a portion of his prayer to God in verse 10 and 11, where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Is that powerful? Lord, I've sinned. I confess it. I come to you. Create in me a clean heart. That was an old song. I love that song. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That was really popular when I was younger. Are you praying God's word? Are you praying for each other? Are we lifting each other up? There's power in praying God's word. Because there's no excuse. You can't say, I don't know how to pray. Just read it. Okay, God, you say this? Oh, Lord, you say this in your word. Like, okay, let's look at, for example, anger. Does anyone ever struggle with anger? Do you ever lose it with your kids? Oh, I never do. Or you lose it with a friend, or you get in a conflict with someone you don't know? Okay, Noah does. Okay. Thank you, Noah. Okay, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Lord, I was angry. I ask you to forgive me. It is sin. Lord, I don't want the enemy to have a foothold in my life. I ask you to help me with my anger. Is that God's will? That you don't have to be angry? It's in his word. We pray God's word. And so you can look at the different, and don't worry, we're not going through all these, but look at the different subjects, grief over death, scriptures, suffering and pain, man, my knee, whew. Pain, suffering, how do I keep going? I'm getting old and my body's falling apart. Lack of joy. You ever go through lack of joy? Peace. I don't have peace in my life. I'm not feeling it. I love that with peace. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Lord, I don't have peace. You promised me peace. I ask, Lord, fill me with your peace. And I told you guys a story before, but one night I woke up and I was all anxious about the church and it was going through my mind. I was anxious, anxious. And sometimes when I wake up, I'm just tired and I don't want to turn to God because I'm upset that I can't sleep and I'm looking at the time. Do you guys get that? But this was one of those times I did pray. Woohoo! And I remember praying and beginning to pray about God. I was anxious, 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 and I prayed to him. And as I continued to pray, all of a sudden, the anxiety began to melt away, and I begin to have peace. Peace in him. And I was able, I don't know, I don't even know if I fell back to sleep, but I had peace at least. He gives us peace. You ever want guidance or wisdom? And you guys, these are just small portions. There's so much more in each subject. But I want you guys to turn here to the who I am in Christ. These are incredible ways that you could pray truth about yourself. When you are wondering if God, man, I'm just not living righteously, I can't do it. Does God love me? Does he have a purpose for me? Look at these. I love John, the second one, John 1:12. I am God's child. So when the enemy whispers into your ear, oh, you've done this and this. Oh, no, God's given up on me. No. Lord, your word says, I am your child. And I believe that. Enemy whispers in your mind, no, I am a child of God. Well, is that the sword of the Spirit? And the enemy attacks us. We use God's word. Man, you ever feel condemned? All these thoughts flooding on condemnation. You've done this, you've done this. Oh. You know, the devil is an accuser of the brethren, right? He accuses us. He gets you, he entices you, you give into it, and then he blames you for it. I mean, talking about a backstabber. But then he fills us with Christians, he fills us with condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know how you know the difference between God's conviction and the enemy's condemnation? If the Lord convicts you, there's always hope and peace in the midst of the conviction. When we fight against God's conviction, then it comes, tends to go over, we're feeling guilty and all that. But when the Spirit comes, when wisdom comes from God, it comes peaceable and all these things from God. When the enemy comes, there's no hope. When God comes, it's because he loves you. And he says, here, this is what it is. And when we fight against it, sure, we may enter that season of turmoil because we're fighting against what God wants us to do. But when God comes, it's in peace and it's with hope. Pray the truth of who you are as a child of God. Stand on who you are as a child of God. Look these verses up. Read them. If you don't know, read God's word because I don't read well. It's not hard to read scripture. Take one scripture a day and read it and think about it and meditate and pray it for yourself and for someone else who you know is struggling with a similar issue. Pray for one another. And then on the very back, and there's a couple of pages. The next page is, you say, God says. You guys see that passage there? I like, you know, it's impossible, the third one down. All, God, you say it's impossible. God says all things are possible, Luke 18, 27. I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you, Romans 8, 1. I'm not able, but God says, I'm able, in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. I feel alone. You ever feel that way? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. Hebrews 13, 5. And then the very last sheet, you guys. I thought this was pretty. 8 promises of God to count in crisis. You know, there's hundreds of promises of God. These are just some of them. Pray God's truth. Pray God's promises. And we're going to have the worship team come forward. Today, you guys, we're going to be taking communion here in a moment. What promise or truth of God will you grab a hold of when we remember Jesus? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. All scripture, all the truths, all the promises are all found in Christ, are given to us in Christ. I don't know where you're at. Does there anything, any of these scriptures jump out to you? Because when we remember the body and blood of Jesus, we remember that these were all given to us because of the body and blood of Jesus. Let us worship him, and let us hold on to his word.